step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Today on The Grave Talks, we continue our conversation with author and psychic medium Paul R. Ost about his new book, When the Shadows Linger. You know, when you talk about benign spirits and you encounter them several times in the book, but was it your cousin's house you went to and there were several spirits there?
Yes.
And one of them, I think you referred to her as, she was younger, but you referred to her as a troublemaker.
Right.
Like she's the one to watch out for. And I think there was one girl who loved cats. There's another spirit in the house who didn't love the cats. And
yep.
Number one, I have cats. So I'm like, that would really drive me crazy if I felt like my cats were being loved and hated by spirits in my house.
At the same time. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be so much for them.
Her cats can be a bit spastic, and I can understand why. She has installed cameras after I went to her house for the first time years ago and told her what I had seen. I think the prior owner still resides in that house. And talking about benign, I think he's just there as kind of a caretaker, if that makes any sense, that he's just there to watch over. It's his place and he's proud of it and
shouldn't
he's
going to
stay there. And
shouldn't
he doesn't have
cats.
Cats.
Yeah.
But her litter box is down in the basement where I saw him. And so she put a camera down there, and it's wild to see some of these videos. She hasn't sent them in a minute, but you can just tell that, you know, a cat's going down and just kind of walking across the floor, and you can just see that something gooses it, pinches it, or throws something at it, and the cat just flies up into the air. It's happened numerous times. But yeah, eventually, and that's another house I'm not the fondest of. I don't really like going to the house. It's not because of the guy. It's these girls that are there, and I think they were orphans. They rule the roost, especially this one younger one just rules the roost. And she can be violent and disrupt things, knock over things. And I think she antagonizes the cats all the time, while there are a couple other younger spirits that I think enjoy the cats and let them, it's a connection to childhood for them.
You know, that's interesting because they live there every day, which seems like that would be impossible. But then when you go to visit, you're super uncomfortable there. Like, how are they managing to live there? And I'm assuming it's because you experience it so differently, maybe.
I think part of that is because I experience it differently. I think everybody has this power. And personally, I think I think it can be passed down genetically, just like I have green eyes and brown hair, you know, well, gray now, but I think it's a genetic thing. And I think that it can be passed from generation to generation. And my cousin's the first cousin, her mom and my dad were brother and sister, and just talking to her and hearing her experiences, I think, okay, this was me. This was me 15 years ago, or this was me 20 years ago. And again, I never even told my first cousins about this type of stuff. So this was all new to her once I released the book last year.
Oh, interesting. They didn't even know till then.
No. I suppose once I started writing the book, I guess is when I started telling people. So she may have known about a year before the book came out. But I got an email from her this morning, as a matter of fact, saying, you know, X, Y, and Z is going on. I think she's got the power to manage it. And she, I've kind of coached her through some things as they happen. through the years. In any event, I think that she's experiencing that a little bit differently than she would have experienced it, you know, 2 years ago.
I was, in fact, going to ask you about generational things being passed down, because I'm not sure if they're cousins or nieces. I think Harper's a cousin, a young cousin.
And she's Lynn's... actually my cousin and granddaughter.
Okay.
So she's
your cousin's, I don't know, granddaughter.
She's like, yeah, my cousin's granddaughter. So she would be like a cousin twice removed or a third cousin. I'm not sure what.
That's when it gets all complicated.
Yeah, it gets complicated. Yeah.
But then Lindsay is your niece?
Aunt's daughter.
Okay.
So I lived in St. Louis for a while, and my aunt and uncle let me live with them for a while. So my first cousins that are there are my age, obviously, kind of in my age group. And once they started having kids, the kids could never figure out who I was, because wasn't an uncle.
They think of you as an uncle, though, it seems.
They do. They do. So they kind of came up with this kind of uncle, cousin, Polly type thing. And I think Harper has the ability to see things. And I've talked with her several times. She's 15, I think, now. And Lindsay definitely has. So, I think there is. I think it is kind of a genetic thing, kind of like the color of hair or whether you have freckles or not, or you're 6'2" versus 5'4". I think all of that is part of the mix for all of us.
Because you and Lindsay seem to really connect on that. You seem very close.
Yeah.
Like she had sent you a text in the middle of the night where she woke up and her closet light was on. When I saw that, I was like, it gave me a little bit of a panic feeling. And I'm just reading the book. That would scare the crap out of me. Because that's something you know when you go to bed, the light is off.
Right.
You would know if the light is still on in your closet.
And the door is open, because she usually leaves that shut. So that not only was the light on, but the door was open.
Because I think we all have a thing about our closets. And so the closet door has to be shut, or it has to be open, or it can only be open this much, or the bedroom door is shut. And when you go to sleep at night, everything, I think for most of us anyway, has to be just so.
Again, that to me is kind of a genetic thing. They're my German side, which, you know, if you ever have done a reading with me, I always say I hate doing readings because I want to be right. I want to be exact and correct, because that was how my dad was, the German side. And that's how his sister, you know, my Aunt Pat in St. Louis was. I don't want to make it sound like rigid and unyielding, but, you know, there's a certain place for everything, and things are need to be done a certain way. So Lindsay definitely, and so is Anne, they're kind of subscribed to that, having a routine where the door is shut, the lights are off, et cetera, et cetera. That is definitely kind of the German side of me as well.
You know, in the book, I think you did a really good job of kind of describing when you're doing a reading with someone, how it comes in. Because it seems like it comes in really fast, and words or visions, and then you just write them down. And so it might be lemonade, lemons, fabric. None of it's making sense to you. You're just kind of interpreting what's coming to you.
Exactly. Exactly. So when I do readings for people, obviously repeat clients I get to know, but I don't know everything about them. I don't know if they like lemons or not. I mean, there's some things that just never come up between friends over the years. But yeah, there are times that I will do a reading and I get into the zone and this words come. I struggle at times even getting all the words down, but I do my best to capture what I'm being shown and what I'm hearing. And to me, it makes no sense. And a lot of times to my clients, it makes no sense. And I don't promise anything when I do a reading. I try to caution people, look, this may not make any sense to you at all. This reading may last 15 minutes or 20 minutes, or it could last 2 hours. I'm going to keep on telling you what I hear and see as long as I'm hearing and seeing things. But yeah, there was an instance where I did a reading for my friend Chris, and it just, to me, it was just weird. I'm just writing down these words, and I'm describing what this woman looks like to her as I'm doing the reading, and she's saying lemons and lemonades and recipe and fabric, and it's in the kitchen, and Chris is looking at me like I have no idea. And again, going back to childhood and, you know, trying to get the best grades as possible, you know, wanting to be right, I fell back into that and felt very disappointed because there was no connection for her at all on anything that I did in that reading for her. And then I think it was the next day or a day after. I have to go back to the book because I know what I wrote. Chris came back and said, no, it was, and I'm pretty sure it was like the next day. She called me and she was at her friend's house. And I guess this, the other thing that came through was Audrey. And she's like, I have no idea who any of these people are, what this is, the lemons and everything. She was at her friend Lindsay's house, different Lindsay, and she was having some issues with a recent move. And it just happened that Chris looked in on the stove, hanging on the stove, was a recipe for lemon cookies. And it said Audrey's Lemon Cookies. And it was on like a tea towel that somebody had embroidered over. And Chris called me like right away and said, I'm in Lindsay's house. And I'm like, and I don't know who Lindsay is, but, and this is what's here. And ultimately Lindsay came for a reading, within the week, I think. And, it involved a missing ring that, we were able to find during the reading. But yes, to answer your question, I'm sorry for kind of rambled on there a bit, but yeah, I write what I write, and if it's wrong, it's wrong. But I don't know what the connections are until that person really has a time to kind of digest everything I say or write.
And it's so interesting for Chris because she's like, what the heck? And then the next day she's at her friend's house looking around the kitchen, going, wait a minute, this was all in my reading. And I think you encourage people to take pictures of your scribblings and your writings and your words and everything.
Yeah.
And so it's all just right there.
It's all right there. And I remember her taking a picture and texting it to me. She's like, I have something, you know, show. You're not going to believe it. And I get a text and it's this Audrey. I just see Audrey's lemon cookies and think, oh, what the heck? I'm not making the connection, because one thing that I also share in this book is once I do a reading, I have my little journal that I write all this stuff in. Once I close it, I stick it in a drawer. I never go back to it. And most of the things that come to me filter away. I don't hold on to it. I can't hold on to it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I just trained myself to not. And so when she's sending me a text with Audrey, I'm thinking, well, what? And lemons. I'm not making the connection.
What are we talking about?
She's like, what are we talking about? And, you know, she's texting me, it's on a tea towel. And I'm thinking, okay. And then it finally all connected, and that, you know, they were talking about, Lindsay and Chris at the moment were talking about a ring that Lindsay had lost, and she couldn't find it. And that's how it ultimately happened, that Lindsay, her friend Lindsay and Chris came over for a reading within a week. And it's like, oh, I've never done this before, but let's see if we can find your ring. And we were able to find it. So anyway.
Which is crazy.
It is crazy because, again, I don't know her. I don't know her situation. And in that particular case, I just remember saying, Lindsay, it's not in the house where you think it is. It's not in your house. And she's like, well, it has to be, you know. It's like, no, it's not. It's in another house, and it's in this box, and there's towels. And I just told her where, you know, what I'm being shown.
Like, you even drew a diagram. Like, okay, it's...
Yeah, yeah. I drew a little map. It's like, it's here. And the ring was Audrey's. It was Audrey's ring. It was, and Audrey was her grandmother. And she had lost this ring. And it really wasn't lost. It was in the house in this box, buried with all these towels and other stuff from, you know, when they packed up a bathroom. So, again, I hate being wrong. And that day when Chris left, my heart sunk. It's like, why am I even doing this and telling people lemons and Audrey and tea towels?
Yeah.
I mean, why am I even spending my time doing this when I'm obviously wrong?
But what ended up really happening was her grandmother saw the opportunity to get a message to her granddaughter through Chris coming to you, you know?
Right.
I'm like, that was some pretty smart thinking on the grandmother's behalf.
Yeah. And that's what I'm kind of going back to that portal. I think I'm interacting with Chris as kind of a conduit. I'm kind of interacting with that conduit, and somebody sees an opportunity and says, I'm going to seize on that. That's what's going to come through in the reading. And again, you know, I know Chris, and I've known her for years. I've not met any of her relatives. I couldn't tell her or anyone, you know, what her grandmother's name was, or that she have a lemon bar recipe that is embroidered. I don't know any of that. I don't. So again, I'm not trying to convince people of anything, but I can just tell you that that's my truth. I wrote it down and it made no sense to me. And the next day it unfolded.
Is it pretty exhausting once you do a reading? Because it seems like it would be pretty intense for you.
It is. And in readings, let me just say, yes, they're exhausting. I try not to do more than one or two readings a week. It's exhausting. And it's especially true if I'm dealing with an unresolved I'll just leave it an unresolved death, especially if it's a young person. Those are really difficult to go through. And I think, you know, we've chatted a little bit about this before. Everything that comes to me, it filters through me. And so some of the experiences that the people that come to me have gone through are similar to what I've gone through. You know, I lost a brother in a car accident 20 years ago. That obviously still resonates with me. And so when I'm dealing with somebody else who died in a similar type accident, that comes through me. And it is exhausting physically and mentally, because, you know, you're playing or at least for me, I'm somersaulting in my head, trying to keep myself together to deliver what these entities are trying to deliver to the person in front of me.
You know, in your first book, I got a kick out of reading it too, because you talk so much about Kansas City, and the way you described it, I'm seeing it all in my head because I'm very familiar with Kansas City. This time, it was the other part of the state, the western part of the state, and you were talking about dodging tornadoes, which was really weird because I have been on that exact same highway, I-70, dodging tornadoes myself. And my mom lived in Hays. You talk about Russell, and then it's Hays, and then there's Quinter, and there's Grinnell. And I'm like, all of these little bitty towns you're talking about, I know exactly where they are. It was making me smile as I read that, because I thought, last time it was all about connecting through Kansas City. It's like, I am visualizing all of this. But as I'm reading it, then you go on into a chapter where you mention me. I could not have been more honored by that.
Oh, but it was meant to be, talking about Kansas City and my friend and Jimmy in Kansas City. Yeah.
It's a story that I have told to several people. And so I really appreciated it, reading it in the book, because in our last interview, and I encourage everyone to go back and listen to that interview, it was really interesting because we were talking about your friend Jimmy, and you had seen him. Then you get home and you found out he had died that morning. But you're like, but I just saw him. And you were mad because you're like, well, Jimmy's in town. He should have called me. And you were just talking about calling me, and your phone rang in the middle of our interview, which I was like, I even said it in the interview. I'm like, that was amazing timing.
Yeah. And it was very profound because, as I recall, and I don't remember the exact words, but I did go back and listen to the interview while I was writing this book. It was just really profound to me because Jimmy always called. And whenever he was in town, at that point, I was living in Colorado Springs, but he's a friend from Kansas City. But yeah, as I was going through this outline for this second book, I really need to revisit that, because it wasn't the end. That his story about how he came to me, I think, in an effort to say, hey, I'm okay. And I share that story in the first book. his coming through, and you're never going to convince me otherwise, that he came through during that interview. And it wasn't during a reading. It wasn't something that I was aspiring to do or connecting. And in fact, I do my best not to try to connect with friends and like my brother who has passed away. I do my best to keep that completely separate from what happens to me from a paranormal perspective day in and day out. But yeah, I could not exclude you or Jimmy from the second book, because I think it kind of reinforces what I was trying to get across in the second book, is that things happen to me on day to day, and there usually, or sometimes there are people around me during that time that's impactful.
And the other interesting thing that I didn't know back then that I read in the book was that you're like me, you never even have your ringer on. It's always on vibrate.
Never. And it drives my husband crazy, because I'll put my phone down at times and I don't know where my phone is. And he knows now there's no need to call it, because we're not going to hear it, because it's always on mute. I was surprised and embarrassed when the phone rang, but it was like on cue. It was on cue.
Well, and you know, I always go back and listen to the interviews. I edit the interviews. And when I went back and listened to that, it felt so profound to me that I left it in the interview. Where normally if a phone starts ringing or a dog starts barking, I edit that out. But the timing of it was just too profound. And I left it in there. Profound.
Well, and so this kind of goes back to that portal kind of explanation about people being open to hearing and seeing things that are going on in their life. Obviously, you're open to it, or I don't think it would have happened. So I think it's a combination of you and me in that moment that permitted Jimmy to just let it ring. And again, I took it immediately as it's him. And I may not have said that during the interview, but I immediately knew it was him. Immediately. So there was no doubt in my mind.
I was touched, because that's a story I have shared, because I thought it was so interesting. That just as we're talking about, why didn't you call Jimmy? His phone rang. Like, it was the weirdest thing. And then to read about it in the book and get more of it from your perspective, it even makes it more profound.
And again, I think you can take it one more level with that whole Kansas City connection that you were talking about. I really did try to write this book from thinking that I'm telling these stories to kids I grew up with, right? So the people who grew up in Kansas City are familiar with Kansas City. Jimmy wasn't from Kansas City, but I met him there. He worked for Hallmark Cards. In any event, so you can even take it to another level, because in that interview, we talked about Kansas City quite a bit.
And my brother works for Hallmark.
So it's all of it is intertwined. It's all intertwined, Carol, I promise.
Yes.
I had to share that story because, again, I'm trying to give the readers for the second book an idea of what it's like, and that even the simplest thing could have meaning. And I think there are times we are too quick to dismiss these little signs.
Now, the book ends with the line, "After years of experiences, my first true ghost investigation potentially awaits." Which struck me in a couple different ways. Number one, you've never done a ghost investigation. And number two, that makes me think there is a third book.
Yes, and yes. There is a third book. Yes. And I had no intention of starting the third book, but I have. And I'm about 10 chapters in. But yeah, through this whole experience of writing, somebody came across my nephew, Alex, who mentioned my book on social media, and this guy's name is Keegan, and he has a YouTube channel called Cools, C-U-L-Z Paranormal, and he reached out to me, and we've been talking. He also does, he's a big hamburger fan, so it's like, oh, let me hook you up in Denver. I know a few places to go. Well, fast forward through our talking, I've given him updates about everything that's happened at the Eagle. And so It's not happened yet. We were hoping it was going to be in the spring, but I think it's going to happen this fall, where he and his crew want to do an investigation at the Eagle on a day that they're closed. So we may be looking at that at Halloween. I'm not sure what to think about it. I've never done one before.
Actually, Paul, you kind of do them every day.
Yeah.
I suppose. Not in an official way.
And again, I guess I just kind of struggle with this whole thing. I hate to be wrong. And so I just don't know how entities will respond if I'm there and there's a camera there. I don't want to disappoint, I guess. So I'm a bit nervous about it, but I'm excited. You know, I've seen a million of them on TV.
But as you well know from watching a million of them on TV, anyone who does paranormal investigations knows that it might or might not happen tonight.
Yeah.
You know.
And I think that's a great point. And that's something I say every time I sit down for a reading, there may be nothing. You know, there may be nothing that comes out of this. I can't control who comes through or how they even present. And in fact, I did a reading yesterday for somebody I used to work with, and not even in the same department, didn't really hang out too much at work, but, you know, she heard about my book and supported me. I did a reading for her yesterday, and I said, this is who's presenting, and here's the name, and this is the way she looks. And, you know, after we got off the phone, it sounds like I had the right person, but that person presented herself as she was maybe in her 40s or 50s. She died in her 70s or 80s, but she presented as a younger person. And I can only tell you what I see, and that's how she presented. I find that interesting as well, that people don't necessarily present the way they were at the time that they died.
I kind of would like to present myself in my prime. I get that.
Yeah,
I want to be looking good if I'm going to be coming through.
Believe me, I want my 1995 jawline versus 2026, right?
So if I'm coming back,
yeah, I'm coming back with that damn jawline. I'll tell you that much. But I just write and try to capture what I hear and see during these readings. And sometimes it comes through and sometimes it doesn't. I suppose that's going to be the same with the ghost hunting adventure that it sounds like I'll be on next month.
Now, with readings, can people get readings? Can they get information through your website?
They can, yes. And, you know, if you want to attach it, my link, I go through the four types of readings that I do, and people can just go onto my website and look and see if there's any type of a match for them. I think mine are a little bit different than what you would typically find, but I do have a few reviews listed on my website as well about what people have come back and told me.
And do you say prostreadings.com or is it prostreadings.com?
Either way. So Prost, it happens to be my first and middle initial with my last name. And it's also Cheers in German. So that's why
I like that.
Yeah. So that's why I stuck with Prost. Even though I identify more with my Irish family, I have a more of a connection to Ireland, but we still have family in Germany as well. But yeah, Prost is German for cheers, and it just happens to be my first initial, my middle initial, and my last name.
And I'll put a link up as well, so you can just click on that in the show notes. But also, you can buy the books through the website, too.
You can. You can buy them through the website. I did things a little bit differently this year. I am not much into people lining their pockets, but I broke down because I was asked to do that. You can find my books on Amazon as well this time around, and through Lulu and Ingram Spark. And I just found out today they're on Walmart's website as well. Okay. I don't know how that happened. I didn't set out to do it, but yeah, I'm on there as well.
So there will be a third interview down the road.
I'd love it. Yeah.
That would be great.
I hope so.
Yes, once you finish the next book.
Yeah. And the number three, if you didn't notice, there was a subtle theme of three in this second book, included on the cover, the three columns, the three shadows. Oh, yeah,
yes.
the three pictures in the back. Yeah, so there's a theme of three, and that was little Easter eggs for what's coming.
Oh, I'm excited. The book is wonderful. I highly recommend it. It just, to me, it kind of was really how you experience life. And I'm always fascinated by people with your abilities. What is it like? And we get a glimpse into what it is like.
And I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm just a regular Joe, just trying to do it the best that he can do with all these other things that happen along the way.
A regular Joe who just happens to have some very unique abilities.
I have my moments. I appreciate you saying that. I have my moments. Oh. I have my moments. I obviously, you know, grandmas love me and they get to share their lemon bar cookie
right?
recipes. So,
right.
you know, so if nothing else, Audrey is giving me a shout out somewhere.
Well, Paul, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me again. I really enjoyed it.
Of course. Thank you so much, Carol. I really appreciate the opportunity.
And that wraps up our conversation with Paul R. Ost about his new book, When the Shadows Linger. Get more information about Paul at his website, prostreadings.com. That's P-R-O-S-T, readings.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes without the commercials, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free, or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it, but Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.